Hello, my name is Mike Diedrich, and I'm with Veterans for Peace, Daniel Ellsberg, Chapter 92 in Seattle. And this is the Veterans for Peace radio show, which is broadcast on KODX 96.9. The broadcast will also be archived on the Veterans for Peace page, and that is VFP92.org. Today, we're going to be talking with Senji Kanadea, is that correct? And Glenn Milner and
Yes.
okay, and Glenn Milner and Colleen. So, could you start with Senji? Could you give a short sort of well, just as a background, this is going to be about the generally about the nuclear peace project, the Sadako statue, and related events associated with nuclear issues. So, Sanjay, could you start with just an introduction to yourself and your involvement in the peace project and the pagoda and whatever else you'd like to talk about? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. How long? I can talk. 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Go ahead, yeah,
Okay.
please.
My name is Senji Kanaeda. I originally from Japan. I was born in the southern Big Island, one of four Big Islands. The name is Kyushu, and then my hometown was between Hiroshima and Nagasaki, almost middle point. And when I was a kid, I visited Nagasaki when I was 8 years old. My mother took me to there, and then that is Nagasaki Day. I joined. I was a kid, but I joined World Peace Rally for abolishing nuclear weapons. That's my childhood, and I was very shocked to see the Museum of Atomic Bomb. Many stuff on the. Blaster them all kind of tragic stuff. So, and then I grown up, and my parents were peace activists, also school teacher, and I was a very strong influence from them probably. And then I became a teacher, and I was a social study teacher. I took my student, the high school student, to Nagasaki also 4 or 5 times. So, and then the Peace Crane project is also in those days. We did it with the school kids, and the school kids also folding a peace crane for 1,000 of peace crane, and they brought it to Nagasaki. So I moved here in 2003 as Buddhist monks 21 years ago, and then 2 years after the Glenn Milner was here, this I started to organize and coordinate the peace march. And the first peace march I planned it from Hanford, Richland to Seattle, including Oregon. So, and then and though this Glenn Milner's wife Carol, and also another peace activist Rodney's wife Minako-san, the Japanese, they folded the peace crane every year last 20 years. So, and probably their peace crane is mobile is probably not maybe 5,000, 6,000, a lot. And we provided those peace cranes and to the city where they live, the people who hosted us in the any city, and Eugene, Salem, or Tacoma, many part of Northwest, and also California, New Mexico sometime. So, and when before COVID time, we have a full course peace marches from Oregon, Washington, more than 2 weeks. And then when we got to Seattle, we always take the route from southern Seattle, around Renton area, to downtown Seattle, and then our destination is always Sadako statue. 3 or 4 o'clock, we got to Sadako statue. We had a special prayer there, and then we heading to the hosted church near there. So, how can I say? This happening recently, the Sadako statue was stolen by someone, it's a very broke my heart. And also I got that information from Glenn, and then basically New York Times and Seattle Times, all many American media reported during the Trump was shooting time. So also I checked Japanese media, all Japanese big media, then public television, also whole nationwide local newspaper reported that thing. So I was, I just saw this as almost my more than half of my life is I work with Sadako and Sadako's spirit. So, and here is another, my buddy monk, Gilberto. He is 81 years old. He's just a 3 months different from her, the same age. If Sadako is still alive, she is 81. So, but I even Sadako's statue was stolen and taken away somewhere, but she's still alive. That's my thought now.
Zenji, yeah. Could you just give a little bit for people who don't know who Sadako was or is?
Oh, okay.
A little bit of background. Thank you.
Sure. Sadako was a the Japanese girl born and grown up in Hiroshima. When she was 2 years old, and the atomic bomb dropped in Hiroshima, August 6th. So, and Sadako's home is exactly 1 mile from the hypocenter. She, and that's brass, brought her to outside, but she had no injured outside. And she grown up very healthy girl. And she had she's a good talent of athlete and running so fast, and she always in the competition on the track. So such a healthy girl. But when she became 12 years old, she suddenly had a fever and also many lump on her all over her body, and then dot of a purple spreading all over her body. And then doctor mentioned Sadako and her mother. Oh, Sadako-san, you have leukemia by the cause of radiation of Hiroshima atomic bomb. So your life is probably 3 months, longest probably 1 year. And Sadako was hospitalized, and she started to peace crane, folding peace crane. Also, her classmate, also many patients, many nurses in the hospital started to help her to fold the peace crane. The Japanese people believe 1,000 peace crane anyone can fold, their dream will come true. And that's the first and Sadako peace crane and Sadako's connection. And many stories, but the recently I read it from some sources. Probably Sadako, when Sadako passed away around 2000 peace crane, including her, she folded, and the other people folded. And that's Sadako's family member talk about. So, and then that story spread all over Japan at first, and then going to United States, many Asian countries, Europe, including former Soviet Union. And then the people's wish to abolish nuclear weapons also stopped all the wars and more violence. It's the spirit fruited to peace crane. And also peace crane is fruited to, they have a wing. They fly to all over the world with the message of peace and message of Sadako. I hope it's good enough, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Senji.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Glenn, can you tell us about sort of the local statue and how it got to Seattle and the background to that particular and the Peace Park? You there, Glenn?
I'm here.
Okay.
Colleen may have, I'd like to hear what she says.
Okay.
As well, it's really a friend's, Floyd Smoke built the Peace Park. And I knew Floyd in the 80s. And this was he won a peace prize and built the Peace Park. And the Sadako, I believe, was dedicated in 1990. I'm not sure.
1990, yes.
Well, you want to jump in, Colleen?
Sure. So the history of the park starts with Floyd Schmoe and then sort of branches out to encompass hundreds of Quakers, peace activists, and Japanese Americans who saw a call for peace in Sadako's story that is worth memorializing. Floyd Schmoe is quite a guy, was quite a guy. He was a lifelong Quaker who he traveled to Japan after the bombings and founded an organization called Homes for Hiroshima, where he helps rebuild homes after the atomic bombing. He got into this work because he was very passionate about fighting against the internment of Japanese Americans in Seattle. So passionate and so involved that his daughter married a Japanese American man who fought his internment all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And he continued to, after his involvement in Japan, to fight for peace all over the world. He founded homes for other countries that had been through war and conflict. And our Quaker Meeting House is built in a Japanese style, in part because of the time that he and other members of our meeting spent in Japan rebuilding homes, thinking about that call for peace. The idea for the park came about in the 80s when Floyd spotted one of those think globally, act locally bumper stickers in our parking lot and was like, what would that mean practically for me right now? And what he decided to do about that call was there was a abandoned lot across the road from our Quaker Meeting House, University Friends Meeting. It was just, packed with trash and abandoned cars and all that kind of thing. And so he and members of our Quaker community, hundreds of people from Seattle, Boy Scout groups spent years cleaning this park out, working with the Seattle Parks Department to get permission to begin a peace park there. And it was not without a lot of work and a lot of people. Quakers are something we say is that we don't have saints. So we try very hard not to canonize Floyd. And instead, we want to recognize that we're hundreds of people involved in this. But Sadako's statue was paid for by the award from Floyd's Hiroshima Peace Prize for his work in Hiroshima. And she was built by a local artist named Daryl Smith. 100% sure. Part of the park is still active and meaningful to this day. I walk to work pretty frequently, and it is always pretty wonderful to see the new garlands that of cranes that to this day students who read the book Sadako and the Thousand Cranes mail to Peace Park drape around her in an act of peace, in an act of question. As I've been involved in advocating for the restoration of the statue, a lot of people have said, why we should move the statue somewhere more prominent, somewhere more visible. It is kind of at a funny little intersection between where you get onto a much bigger road. But I think that it speaks to its location, speaks to the humbleness that our mission for peace can take. It does not need to be grand. Sometimes the work of peace is as small as a 12-year-old girl folding paper cranes out of, medicine labels that she can get her hands on and stab in a hospital. We have heard from hundreds and hundreds of people who are devastated about the theft of Sadako. You know, there are people in Seattle who come and leave offerings at her feet every year on the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings. We heard from the USA Japan Foundation, and they pledged $20,000 to her restoration and are going to host a fundraiser for her at the end of this month. It has been a good reminder that, I guess, as it inspired Floyd, think globally, act locally. The work for peace, the work for nuclear abolishment can be very small and very local. And it has been very meaningful to see how many people care and how many people want to be active.
Well, thank you, Colleen. That's actually a very good background to this. Can you tell me what sort of, does the Friends have a website or a PayPal sort of arrangement set up so that people who wish to donate for the restoration of the statue can go to and donate?
Yes. If you donate through our website, we have a PayPal link set up. And if you just put Sadako in the description, we'll know that you wanted to go for the statue's restoration. I am also hosting what I'm calling a fundraiser on August 6th, which is the 79th anniversary of the Hiroshima bombings. So at UFM, we will be hosting a lesson to come and learn how to fold cranes for peace, make peace garlands. We're also inviting people to host their own and share our PayPal link as the way to collect suggested donations. And we're hoping that groups for peace, Japanese American groups, Quaker groups, children's groups, art groups, will take this up as a way to remember Sadako, remember her still active and present legacy for peace, and help us raise some money to restore the statue.
What exactly is that link, and where would we send it? Where would they? What is your website or your link?
Our website is ufmseattle.org, and there's a button that says donations in our menu bar. If you are familiar with PayPal, you can just go into PayPal and write office@ufmseattle.org and just send a donation that way. We can also take checks mailed. If you would like to mail a check, our address is University Friends Meeting, 4001 9th Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105. And you should put Sadako in the memo line.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm a member of Veterans for Peace. I'm actually the vice president of the local chapter here, and we will contribute to I think we're at least on the tap for $500 to the fund. We've been a long time supporter of been a while since I've been at a Friends meeting, but thank you for doing that, and thank you to the Friends for their long time involvement in this. As you know, there's an annual we call it the Festival of the Lanterns, I think it's called, in Green Lake, the 6th of August, which celebrates the, I'm not exactly sure how we say celebrates, but marks the anniversary of the Hiroshima Nagasaki with floating lanterns on Green Lake. It's usually probably be a bigger sort of thing. And at that, actually, that venue is probably a good place to collect donations for the restoration. And I don't know if are the Friends going to have a booth or a website there?
Yeah, we'll probably have an attender. I'm awfully sorry about the conflict. I only learned about the event after I had sent out the information to news outlets and so on and so forth. But I'm hoping to, you know, next year is the 80th anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing, and hoping to work with the group that puts on the Lanterns for Peace event next year to help organize a bigger, more amplified event.
Well, it's going to be a busy end of July and August for right, including Peace Group. And I'd like to mention, too, is that the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule, which is a sailboat which was attempted to go to the Marshall Islands in 1954 to protest the atomic testing there. It was stopped by the Coast Guard, but the ship symbolized the opposition to nuclear weapons. And after sort of a long history, the boat ended up in Humboldt Bay, California, sunk. The local chapter there, VFP, raised the boat, put it on land, and spent several years rebuilding the ship so that it now sails the world. It's been to Hawaii and East Coast and West Coast of the United States and Mexico. And the Golden Rule is the product of Veterans for Peace. We aim to advance Veterans for Peace opposition to nuclear weapons and war, and so do it in a dramatic fashion. We have recovered and restored the original peace ship, the Golden Rule, set sail in 1958 to stop nuclear weapons tests in the Marshall Islands. And that inspired many peacemakers and peace ships that followed. The Golden Rule is sailing once again, and it has an extensive northwest schedule, including the protest of the Navy during Seafair, the parade of ships. It'll be out there in Elliott Bay. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Glenn, longtime advocate.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us. We all know each other really well, except for Colleen. I'm really glad to meet Colleen, even in this show and on this Zoom production. I think we're all pretty much walking on the same path here for peace. The Peace Fleet is what it's called when the Navy fleet comes into for Seafair every year, and lately they've been coming in on a Tuesday. It'll be July 30th this year. And since the way Peace Fleet started was in 1997, USS Ohio submarine came into Seattle, and it was loaded with 192 nuclear warheads and the missiles. And there was quite an uproar about it in 1997. And the Navy promised that they'd never do that again. And then in 2000, they did. They brought in the USS Alabama, another Trident submarine loaded with nuclear weapons. And that was just kind of the start. Well, it was the start of the Peace Fleet. We went out on one boat. And there's a couple of years we didn't go out. And then we went out when the Navy came in at Seafair in 2003, when we learned that the Navy was firing depleted uranium rounds off the Washington coast for practice drills. So we started again in 2003 and kept doing it every year. The Golden Rule was up here when they first started sailing in 2016. They came to Seattle and they were here with us. And so we're really happy to have them back. They've been all over the place since. They've been in Hawaii since. And as Mike said, they've been the East Coast. On July 30th, what we do is the boats are in the water at noon and there's people on the shore. The shore presence is very important. Well, shore presence is on Pier 62, and we actually launch kayaks and boats out of Bell Harbor Marina. So a kayak can take their kayak into Bell Harbor Marina down the ramp. We'll help people carry their kayaks down. They can go out and meet the Navy vessels coming in. Oh, I should say the Golden Rule is also, we have a Boats by Banger on the 27th, and that is in Hood Canal. And they're scheduled to go past the submarine base at Bangor. And I don't really know quite how to describe passing by. It's the largest stockpile of deployed nuclear weapons in the world. Your boats go by like 500 yards or so. You can see pretty well areas where missiles are loaded and warheads are loaded onto the submarines. You can see the whole shoreline facilities of Naval Base Kitsap Hangar. So their Golden Rule is scheduled to go there as well, and they'll be in Ellet Bay they'll be in Hood Canal on the 27th and Ellet Bay on the 30th of July.
Maybe just a few more, some more background. I mean, Bangor is one of two submarine bases, is that correct, in the United States that have Trident nuclear submarines?
It is. Kings Bay has six Trident submarines and Bangor has eight. At any time, there is three Trident submarines that are ready to launch. They're in their locations for war fighting plans. Three submarines at any time out of Bangor are ready to launch, according to war plans. Each submarine has 20 missiles on and roughly 90 warheads. They're different size warheads, ranging from 8 kilotons up to 455 kilotons. And each submarine is roughly about at least 1,000 Hiroshima bombs, equivalent to that type of destruction. In addition to that, there's another two. There's probably five out there at any time. The other two can soon be ready in their locations to launch as well.
So I don't think a lot of people know. I mean, a lot of people didn't know about Sadako, and also they don't know about Bangor and what a sort of a threat to world peace and annihilation that is. One of the reasons that the nuclear weapons disarmament program is sticky with countries, say, like Russia, is that because they feel very threatened by these submarines. They don't have anything quite like it. And there's absolutely, the submarines are almost immune because of their secrecy. They're almost immune to deterrence. There's nothing the Russians really can do about it, very little anyway. So it's like a sticking point with the, I would say a sticking point with negotiation, particularly the nuclear disarmament plan, which was instituted at the United Nations a few years back, and which is the six nuclear weapons countries, they won't sign the protocols. For the United States to do it, it has to be an act of Congress, and getting congressional people here to admit that, particularly here in Washington State, are two senators who have done nothing about it, really. It's kind of disheartening. That's the way it has to go in this country, is, you know, it has to be done legislatively. I don't really have any suggestions, but we are in the Northwest is a nuclear coalition and a couple of organizations, including, I hesitate to add, Ground Zero, which is a multi-decade long organization that advocates against nuclear weapons. But also, it's also nice to know that the Peace Pagoda, which sits right on the border of the Bangor, or the was it Bangor? Bangor, right. Yeah. To have that sort of a structure, and is that Peace Pagoda just about finished? I was looking at the website update. It looks like it's just about ready. Is that true? Senji?
Yeah, actually, current Peace Pagoda project is started at 2019. We got COVID, but after that, we continue to the building process now. And then now there's a basic structure almost done. We expect the completion is the next summer or next May. So that is just a nuclear weapon facility, just exactly, I think it's 2 miles. And then the very next 100 years from the fence between Bangor submarine base and Ground Zero.
100 yards.
On the yard. And that's the location of the Peace Pagoda. The Peace Pagoda is originally enshrined the Buddha's relics, ashes. And then that's after Buddha passed away 2,500 years ago, the many Buddhist people got a part of the Buddha's ashes. They shared and they also provided each other, and they enshrined the Buddha's ashes as like a mound, and that become like a half hemisphere, like a half of the bowl style, and then that spreading all over Asian country at first, a Buddhist country. But now our Buddhist order particularly have a very strong focus to build a pagoda for spreading the message of nonviolence and ahimsa, the Mahatma Gandhi's idea and the Buddha's message. So now that we built the Peace Pagoda after World War II, 80 on the earth. Then outside of the Japan, we built it already over 20. In United States, we have Massachusetts and upstate New York, and we had it already. But the third one and fourth one, we are on construction. One of them is Tennessee, not so far from Oak Ridge, the birthplace of Hiroshima atomic bomb. And then this side, Washington State, is the first one in the West Coast. And also, this place is located in Washington State. Washington State is the first plutonium was produced in Hanford site. And the very significant places in the United States, East and West, we are on construction of the Peace Pagoda, the newest one. So actually 40 years ago, over 40 years ago, there were the founder monk of a Buddhist order, Fuji Nichida too, had the opportunity to visit Ground Zero Center after the a million people's abolition nuclear weapon big rally in New York City. And he saw the American peace activists with nonviolence action is they offer the risk, their lives at risk. And then they pass over the blue line and federal line or a county line, and they never hesitated to offer their life, their wish to the peace. So he was so inspired and inspired and also impressed. And then that's the beginning, 1980. He really strongly advocated, could you please build a peace pagoda here? That's the beginning. And then we started, but we got arson and we lost the temple. Someone burned the temple, and also we lost a place. And then also construction has already started, but the county ordered to stop it. And now, this almost 40 years later, we got finally the permission of the building pagoda. It's very next to the world's largest nuclear weapon site. So, and we are starting before COVID, and groundbreaking ceremony, and then we started to the construction last four or five years now. So the significance, very small pagoda, but significance is a big contrast. So the human being created big violence, chunk of destruction. On the other hand, human being has a heart to love each other, to stop the violence, also all kind of idea of living with peace. So, and that's our project. I hope that's significant. And many Ground Zero members, also many local people, many people understood. And then we got not so many, but we have a little by little, there's many people supported, and day by day, we keep the construction.
Many Quakers. Many Quakers.
Yeah. Also, very connected to many Quaker people. For example, yesterday, one of the person, Quaker artists, show up to the Peace Pagoda site. He was actually making the relief of the Peace Pagoda. That's a full episode of the Buddha's life. And also, I know that Glenn is a Quaker, yeah, and Colleen, yeah. So without Quaker, we can't do anything. And first, second Peace Pagoda in the United States is upstate New York near Albany, the capital. They have 11 relief surrounded by pagoda. That is all Albany's Quakers artists producing. So, and I'm very happy that American citizens, peaceful and also loving spirit, concentrated to that half hemisphere symbol.
Well, thank you, Senji. Well, as a retired contractor, I went and looked at the website today for the construction of that thing, and it doesn't look like anybody's going to be burning that place down. It is a reinforced concrete structure with a concrete roof, a poured concrete and a steel roof, and it could probably survive a nuclear blast. But in any event, it's going to be there for the ages. And congratulations to you and the other Quakers and others who have participated in the building of it. It's important to have these sort of permanent structures like that. And in a way, the Sadako statue is that too. We can keep it from being vandalized and stolen. I was wondering if Colleen, if you thought that maybe something like a small temporary framework for that people could, that we could be erected at the site of the statue, what's left of the statue, is for people to drape cranes over.
That is so funny. I was just talking to the Seattle Parks Department about that this morning. Yes, we would love to have a structure for the crane garlands that we are hoping to receive, many, many, many crane garlands. You know, it's the Parks Department. Everything takes a permit. Everything takes a moment to make that happen. But yes, that's definitely something we're considering. But also, Glenn, could you say the time, date, and launch area of the Boats for Peace again, please?
Yeah, it's July 30th. It's a Tuesday. We plan on boats in the water at noon. So if you have a kayak. Excuse me, and if you bring it down to Pier 66, it's actually Bell Harbor Marina. We will help you carry it down the ramp and bring a sign, the sign of your choosing, and we all go out in the spirit of peace.
Well, thanks very much, Glenn. I'll include it in our bulletin.
Good.
Colleen, you mentioned there's sort of conflict. You're having a phone meeting to fundraise the 6th. Is that, did you say that? Is that what you said?
Yes. Unfortunately, we are organizing a fundraiser for peace where we're inviting people to come to University Friends meeting, learn how to fold paper cranes, learn about Sadako's legacy, learn about the legacy of Japanese American peace activism in Seattle. And unfortunately, I did schedule at the same time as Lanterns for Peace. I'm very sorry. I sent out the information before I knew about the event. And I'm hoping that next year, University Friends Meeting can help boost this event and make it bigger and reach more people. So apologies for this year. We will probably have a representative at Lanterns for Peace speaking about the effort to restore Sadako's statue. Sorry about the conflict. That was my fault. I made that mistake.
Is separately the Friends hosting a potluck gathering in, or is that what you're talking about now?
We are hosting a potluck for the Golden Rule. If that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, which is a little later.
Yeah, that's July 8th.
Okay, great. Yeah.
If you would like to come to that, that is on July 8th at University Friends Meeting in Seattle in the U District. And the I'm saying July when the word I actually mean to be saying is August. And that time for that is, I'm just stalling until my calendar pops up. Sorry, guys. Yes, it is actually not even the 8th. It is August 9th from 5 to 9 o'clock at University Friends Meeting. We in the social hall, and we also have space in our kitchen. So if you are interested, involved with the Golden Rule, we'll have an Apollo. Come on down.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. And actually, Veterans for Peace will be there. And Dan Gilman has promised that his wife will cook two lasagnas. So yeah, we'll be there. I think we've been there before, and I don't know, maybe we'll fold some cranes there too. That's great that the Seattle Parks is involved in this, however slowly, about getting some sort of a framework for I mean, people would love to put cranes up. I thought of doing something. I'm a ex-contractor, as I mentioned, and I could put something up quickly. I don't want to put something that's hokey up, though. But actually, anything that would hang garlands of cranes on would be appropriate. Maybe if you told that to the Parks Department, all they need is a couple of 4x4s with a cross brace, and you know, paint it, you know, or something like that. are you coordinating that contact with the Parks then? Or the friends. Yeah.
I have spoken to everyone about this step, ranging from the New York Times to Japanese news outlets to Seattle Parks Department for a permit for a temporary structure. I'm the office coordinator at University Friends, as well as a meeting. And I feel very lucky that the meeting has allowed me the time and space to help organize the restoration.
Well, thank you for that. It's important, and as mentioned otherwise with Sentius, is how important this is to overseas Japanese and their. What you were saying, that the overseas Japanese organization pledged $20,000 for restoration and repair of the statue.
Yeah, the USA Japan Foundation has started a fundraiser, and they have pledged $20,000, and they also are going to be in Seattle at the end of July and have offered to hold a in-person fundraiser for us. So we are very hopeful and pretty confident that we will get the funds needed to restore the statue. We have the grandson of Floyd Schmo is also an attender of University Friends Meeting, and he has a welder. And we're hoping that he will be able to get involved with, he's expressed interest and is hoping to get involved with the restoration of the statue. And so we're hoping perhaps maybe he will make the structure where people can drape cranes. I have a couple of dreams for the restoration. One is I would like to see it made in a material that's a little less appealing to vandals, maybe granite or stone. And then I would also like to see Peace Park expanded to include innocent victims of other wars. I think particularly as a reminder of victims of American wars, I think we have more legacies, more stories that could be memorialized in Peace Park. And you know, this is just me expressing my own dreams and hopes, but that's where I'm hoping and dreaming that this project could go.
Well, as speaking as representative of VFP, we would certainly support that. One of the things that we do every year is on what we like to call Armistice Day instead of Veterans Day. Veterans Day, we participate for the 17th year now in the Auburn's Veterans Day Parade, which is the largest Veterans Day Parade in west of the Mississippi. We are the only peace organization there. There are several hundred entries, but you know, one of the things that came out of the First World War was the Armistice Day, and the original proclamation said that it should be involved with the actions that would promote world peace. And that's certainly in line with what you're talking about. And we've got a long history of continuous war, really, since the Second World War. And we've got a lot of as somebody said once, he says the most dangerous occupation in war is being a civilian, and a lot of civilians have died at the hands of American bombs, and that goes on with the, well, that goes on with the Ukraine and also in Gaza. But I mean, that's an important point, and I'm glad that you brought it up and are promoting that sort of inclusion with the Peace Park. I don't know, is there any more geography that the park could expand except run down the hill there where it's where you've almost fallen to the roadway?
You know, Sadako takes up some space, but there is plenty more. My hypothesis as to why someone felt that they could take the statue and there would be no repercussions is that it is quite a humble park. And I think that more presence, more structure, more infrastructure might help remind people that this park is very loved and very meaningful. I think the humbleness of Sadako's statue is great. It's very beautiful and meaningful, but it's quite small. It's a little bit smaller than I would assume a life-size Japanese girl would be, even one who had leukemia. So as always, my personal dreams are for bigger and more impactful, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's going to be interesting. I always thought that maybe if it was to be a bronze statue, it would be a solid bronze statue, which would be impossible, almost impossible to carry away except for the crane, and certainly wouldn't be something that you could hack cut off very well, even with a sawzall.
It is a half inch thick and hollow in the rest.
Yeah.
We're thinking it was about 200 pounds.
Actually, if you look at the feet there, it's not a half an inch. It's like a quarter of an inch. So, and it's hollow. So that's one of the reasons that they were able to cut that thing off and so quickly. I also would think that maybe the Parks Department could put it up, or maybe the Friends could put it up. It says that the thing is actually under video surveillance. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to have video surveillance, but you could say it, it's under video surveillance. I don't know if that would make any difference to, say, somebody who's a tweaker hophead who's going to cut it up anyway. At this point, there's probably no indication that it would be returned even in pieces.
So we have adjusted the cameras on our meeting campus to now we have one on the park. And we do not think that we will be able to recover the original Sadako statue. Yeah. Scrap metal thieves want to get that stuff in and out so that they don't have the evidence of a crime on their hands. And we were told, you know, if you didn't get it back in 24 hours, you're probably out of luck.
Yeah.
I sent out a scrap metal alert to all the dealers within 100 miles of us, you know, the day we found out, the morning we found out. But no luck. So,
well, thank you for calling for that. That the there's going to be a lot of activity here late July, early August, and any final thoughts, Senji, on the on Sadako or the
I'm really happy to hear that many people already started to reviving Sadako statue project now. So on the other hand, I just want to say thank you to my Veteran for Peace people. One of my closest friends is the Veteran for Peace Seattle is Alberta Penta. Penta. And also one of most closest one is Bruce Gagnon in the Maine. So, and he coordinated the peace march in Maine for 4 times around 10 years ago. We never miss it. And then one day, almost like a final day, when we get to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, there's a big destroyer's shipping yard. So, and that day is almost like a dozen, more than a dozen of pieces, Veteran for Peace flag walk together. Was beating the Buddhist drum. And I saw this, how powerful, how influential your people's Veteran for Peace flag, if not just one, if dozen. I really expected such a thing happened more and more in this country. And also Sadako's peace crane is the same as like a flag of Veteran for Peace. They also have a dove on it, and they also have a bird. I really expected to that such a peaceful bird continue to fly on the earth for stopping more violence. Yeah, and thank you so much for offering this opportunity.
Thank you, all of you, for your decades of activism for peace. It is very meaningful to see that many people from many different walks have worked so hard for a more peaceful world. Thank you for your work, gentlemen.
Well, also, I'd like to thank you, Colleen, because it's heartening for somebody like me, and well, for all of us, or Glenn and Senji, old guys who've been around for quite a while, to see a younger generation of people like yourself take up this activism, because it won't be carried forward unless there's another generation of people talking about this. We're all in it for the long haul. So, all right. Well, thank you, Senji. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Glenn,
for this is actually a very good program with a lot of good information. One last thing, Colleen, you mentioned that the Japanese American Association is having a meeting fundraising meeting.
Towards the end of July, no confirmed date. Sorry. But okay, if you look on their website, they have a GoFundMe set up already.
And so, what would be their website?
Let me do a little search. I think if you so it's the United States Japan Foundation, and okay. Their website is just the letters us-jf.org.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks. Thanks again. This is Mike Diedrich, Veterans for Peace, Chapter 92, Daniel Ellsberg Chapter. And this is broadcast on KODX 96.9 FM in Seattle. It's a low power station, but this is because it will be archived there, and also VFP92.org. So thanks again. This is a very timely production, and you guys have all made it a much, much better production than I could have done. Thanks again.